you got your Bible this morning, you can grab it. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one right in front of you, in the chair in front of you. There's a little fancy holder for it. You can grab it out and turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew's the first book in the New Testament, so it's kind of close to the end of the Bible, but I don't know. You can look it up in the table of contents if you need to. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 7 this morning. Do you ever read the Bible and it can just get kind of confusing? Anyone? And some of us, I don't know if you're like me, sometimes you like get really hung up on it and you're like, what does this mean? And sometimes you just kind of like read it and then just kind of move on. You're like, I don't really know what that means, but I'm just going to move on. And I feel like this has been one of those verses for me. But recently I was reading it and I felt like God really spoke to me through it and the Sermon on the Mount. With our ministry school here, we're reading through the Gospel of Matthew. So we were all reading through it together and just kind of reading through the whole sermon and then coming to this verse. It kind of shed some light on it. And so we're going to chat about that this morning. It's been a while since I've been up here, actually. At the beginning of August, we spoke at the church in the park where a bunch of the churches in town get together and worship together. And so that was sweet. And then Pastor Rob said, you know, we're starting this school. Ben, you can, you know, just take a break if you want. I said, that would be really helpful. So it's kind of been a couple months and gotten that going. And so it's great to be up here, though, again, and share with you all. I do love doing this. And so if you're with me in Matthew chapter 7, we're going to read one verse to start. But we're also going to be jumping around and just referencing a whole bunch of the Sermon on the Mount, which is Matthew chapter 5 to 7. It's Jesus' like most famous sermon. Lots of people who wouldn't call themselves Christians are familiar with some of the things in the Sermon on the Mount. So let's read Matthew chapter 7, verse 6, the confusing one. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Nice. Or in the ESV it says, which I think this is what I actually had. I should read it in the translation I had. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. And it can be a puzzling verse. One comment I read says, it's a passage that readily adapts itself to a variety of applications. And I thought, yeah, that's true. I think it is. And through history, it's kind of been interpreted in different ways. Quite early on in the early church, not long after the New Testament was written, it was applied to what we just did, to communion, to the Lord's Supper, saying, hey, you know, be careful who you give this to. More recently, it's been applied to, you know, sharing the gospel. Like, be careful who you share the gospel to. They might turn and attack you, or who you give counsel to. But I think if we'd been listening to Jesus that day on the Sermon on the Mount, we wouldn't have been thinking about communion. We wouldn't have been thinking about sharing the gospel. I think, though, we would have been thinking about some other things. Because if we'd been sitting there listening to Jesus that day, he'd been saying quite a bit already. Quite a bit. What a sermon, hey? It's so packed. If we'd been sitting there that day, we would have heard Jesus saying that when we give to poor people, or when we pray or fast, we shouldn't do that to impress other people. We should do that for our Father in heaven who sees what is done in secret. We would have heard Jesus saying that we shouldn't serve money, but that we should serve God instead. We would have heard him saying in that vein in Matthew chapter 6, 31, don't worry, saying what shall we eat or what shall we drink, what shall we wear, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We would have heard Jesus telling us not to judge other people, lest we be judged by God. And we would have been reprimanded for our hypocrisy, spending our energy on calling other people out while our sin is, in fact, more serious. And we would have heard a lot of other things as well. So much in there. But I picked the things I just did to highlight because I think they point us in a certain direction for thinking about our verse today. Don't work to impress people. Don't live your life for money. Don't spend your energy on judging other people. All of those things in different ways are about us giving our attention, our time, our effort, our faculties to the wrong thing. And then we would have heard Jesus say, don't give dogs what's holy. Don't throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. The image is of giving something sacred, some holy object, and we're not super familiar with that concept, but Jesus' listeners certainly would have been, something from the temple maybe, giving that to the dogs to just do whatever they wanted with it. Or some very valuable gem, a pearl, throwing that to the pigs to get dirty and trampled and, I don't know, maybe eaten. It's a pig, maybe they eat it. And I think the question when we read that and when we've been listening to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount is to say, what do we have that's holy and precious that we could do this with? Communion, certainly. You know, the Word of God, yeah, but what's Jesus calling us to? What do we have that's holy and precious? The New Testament actually calls our bodies holy. Our bodies are described as temples in 1 Corinthians 6 and as living sacrifices in Romans 12, both holy objects. And together as a church, as a body of believers in the letter of 1 Peter, we're called a holy priesthood and a holy nation. We are called holy. And that same letter in 1 Peter calls our faith extremely valuable. There's nothing that valuable. In the kingdom of God, who we are and what we have is holy and precious. And I think that resonates really strongly with what Jesus has been saying throughout his sermon. Our prayer, our giving, our fasting, our service, our lives, our pursuits, our energy, even our judgment, these are things that Jesus has been counseling his listeners not to spend in the wrong direction. So how would we throw these things to the dogs or the pigs? I don't think it's just by, you know, sharing the gospel with the wrong people. I don't think it's by giving money to someone who's going to waste it or something. And I don't think the danger is of us being persecuted, because right at the beginning of the sermon, Jesus says, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. So I don't think it's like a preservation verse in that way. But I think the danger is deeper. It's in giving what's sacred and valuable in us to a lower cause. The danger is in compromising what's sacred and valuable in us to things that will only end up destroying what's sacred and valuable, and even destroying us ourselves. Near the beginning of the sermon, Jesus says this in Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. We're talking about this one in class the other day. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. It's the same language, the trampling underfoot, that Jesus uses there and then in the passage we read today. And it seems to be saying a similar thing. Don't let the holy salt, the valuable salt, be compromised to such a point that it's lost its use and it's fit to be trampled underfoot. Don't give dogs what is holy, and don't throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. You know, some of us, we might like counsel young people saying, you're valuable. Your body is valuable. Don't, you know, throw yourself on whoever will give you attention. You're way more valuable than that. And I think Jesus is giving us similar counsel, again, with a much broader range of applications. Don't compromise yourself by buying into the values around you. Don't sell yourself to obtain what the world thinks is valuable. What you have and who you are in the kingdom is holy and exceedingly precious. When you spend yourself on things like money or worry or judgment or impressiveness, you're throwing a sacred treasure to the dogs and the pigs. And again, that's not calling like a certain group of people dogs and pigs, nor is it identifying a specific thing like, you know, communion or the word as what's sacred. It's a broader call not to waste the precious holy things we have in Christ by compromising in order to gain something that turns out to be useless or even worse. So let's look back again at what Jesus has already said in this sermon, and then we'll look forward, because I actually think this is, it seems like this little verse that doesn't really attach to what's before or what's after, but I think it does. I think it's connected to what comes after it. But let's look first to what comes before. What are some of the specific ways that we can compromise what's holy and precious in us that Jesus has talked about in his sermon? The first one is this idea of impressiveness that we've talked about. I'm not going to read all of these chunks of scripture because they're big. You can go and read them. You should go and read them. They're good. Jesus' words, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1 to 18. But I just want to kind of summarize a few of the things that Jesus has talked about. Jesus has had a lot to say about how we try to impress other people rather than God. And the three specific areas he talks about are really interesting. They're giving to the poor, praying, and fasting. And Jesus rebukes the people listening to him, who are his disciples, for doing these things that should be done in the sight of God for the sake of praise from people. You think about those three things. They're things that, of course, they should be for God. Like, we're giving to the poor, we're praying, we're fasting. Like, those are things we do in the sight of God. And Jesus is saying, you're doing them for the praise of people. And that's a temptation for all of us, I think. Even where there's like an inner desire, and I think there is in most of us, there's this inner desire to do these things, do what's right, to serve, what have you, because it pleases God. Even though that's the case, so often we can get sidetracked by this kind of more tangible praise from people. Because it's right there. It's right in front of us, right? So you'd be like, yeah, I'm going to serve. I'm going to serve in the church or do these things. I'm going to fast. But it's so hard to be like, I'm actually just doing that for God, and keep reminding ourselves. It's so easy to be like, yeah, I'm serving, I'm giving, you know, all these kind of things. Look at me. But Jesus says that when we pursue praise from people, that's all the reward we get. That's what he says in Matthew 6. Our giving, our prayers, our fasting, they all only end in people's praise. That's it. Bummer, hey? These beautiful, holy, precious things, giving, prayer, fasting, they end up only resulting in praise from people. It's kind of like throwing pearls to pigs. Just human praise? That's all we get? Lame. And so Jesus encourages us instead to seek reward from the Father by doing these things in secret, only for the Father. And then Jesus starts talking about money, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 34. And talks about worry too, which is really associated with money. And he's got a lot to say on the topic again. You can look it up, but just a few takeaways. First, really straight up, he says, if you store up wealth on earth, it's going to get destroyed. It's not going to last. Again, kind of sounds like throwing pearls to pigs. If you put all your energy into getting a bunch of money in the bank, it's just going to be there. Well, it's moth. I mean, you know, maybe we don't think of moth and rust so much now, but it's not going to last. It's going to destroy. You're going to waste these valuable resources in something that's actually not going to last. And a little later, he says, you can't serve God and money. If your life is lived in service of money, then you're not living in service of God. And again, this looks a lot like giving what's sacred to the dogs, taking our life, our service, and giving it to miserable money instead of to God, having money as a master that we serve. Give what's sacred to the dogs. And then he starts talking about worrying about material needs, which is, of course, tied up with money. And he says that even food and clothing, if they become what we're pursuing, if they become what we're focused on, are going to distract us from the greater reward of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, don't give your energies to food and clothing. Give them to the kingdom of heaven, and God will take care of you. Our energy, our passion, and our pursuit are precious, holy things that Jesus wants us to direct toward the kingdom of heaven first. And then, in chapter 7 of Matthew, he starts talking about judging. about hypocrisy. He tells his listeners not to judge other people, lest they be judged. He says that the measure that we use in judging is the same measure that's going to be used to judge us. And he says straight up that you've been hypocritical, he says to his listeners. And he gives this great illustration. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? It's a funny illustration. He says, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. This one's a little bit different, but I think in a unique way, it's also giving an illustration of what it could mean to throw our pearls to the pigs. Not that the people we're judging are the pigs. It's not saying that. That would just be more judgment, right? But we're taking the holy mercy that we've received from our God, the mercy and the forgiveness that define our lives as disciples of Jesus. And we're taking them and we're turning them around and judging people, nitpicking people's sins, saying, you are in the wrong, I'm in the right. We're spending our energies on something that's ultimately going to lead to our own destruction because we're not being aware of where we're at. We're not being merciful because we've been shown mercy. And then, of course, Matthew 7:6, do not give dogs what is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. And of course, there are a lot of other things that could fit into this framework. I just kind of chose a few that I see in the Sermon on the Mount there. But there's lots of things that we could say, hey, I'm investing the things that God has given me as his disciple to the wrong directions. And it's like throwing our pearls to the pigs. It's like giving what some sacred holy object over to dogs. We're doing okay? The Sermon on the Mount calls us to give what's holy to God and to spend what's precious for his kingdom. Again and again, to give what's holy to God and to spend what's precious for his kingdom. And if we give those to things that are less, it's like we're just throwing away what's holy to the dogs and we're giving these precious things to the pigs. But of course, the problem is, like we kind of talked about already, the lure of being impressive or liked, the lure of feeling secure financially or even wealthy, the lure of feeling like we're in the right as opposed to someone else, I'm right, you're wrong. Those are all really strong lures on our hearts. And so what do we do? How do we even get there? It's not necessarily easy. How do we get these things? How do we get our affirmation, our security, and our approval? Where do we get them from? I think is a relevant question to ask. And so I want to just read again what we've read already from Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. And then I just want to keep reading because I think it really gives us some perspective on kind of how we can combat these temptations on our hearts. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6 to 11. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Jesus says, don't give your holy, precious resources to things that will ultimately destroy them and you. And then I think, if I could insert maybe an implied statement, you don't need to go to these sources for what you need. Just ask. You're a child of God. Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all this will be added to you. Jesus gives this illustration of a kid asking a parent for something, right? And Jesus says, you know, you guys even know how to give good gifts, but God all the more. God is always good and always gives what is good. That doesn't mean that he always gives what we want, but it means he always gives what is good. If Jed comes up to me and asks for a snack, and, you know, it's not like almost dinner or he hasn't just brushed his teeth or something, I'll give him a snack. It's a good gift. He needs to eat, of course. If Haven comes up to me and asks for water, please, I'll give him some water. Of course, if either of them come up to me at 7 in the evening and say, can I have some chocolate, Dad? I'll probably say no. I will keep you up late. It's not the time for chocolate. Jesus says that the Father is better than us at giving good gifts to his children. It doesn't mean there's never going to be a no, but it means that everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And what we receive is always good because the Father gives good gifts. And that gives us a place of security to stand in, from which to reject the temptations to give these holy, valuable things that we've been given to the wrong places. And Jesus has actually already talked about that place of security earlier in the sermon. In Matthew 6:6, when he's talking about impressiveness and seeking praise from others, he says, "Then your and he says this a few times through this, but I just chose the one instance. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." He says, you have a Father who sees you and will reward you. You don't need to go to the impressiveness. You don't need to go to the praise of other people. You don't need to try to be impressive. Matthew 6:32, when he's talking about money and food and clothing, he says, the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He says, you actually don't need to run after these things because you have a Father who cares for you. Ask, seek, knock. You're a child of God. In Matthew 5:44-45, Jesus says, this is a little bit of a different section of the Sermon on the Mount, but he says, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Jesus says, you don't need to play by the rules of this earth where you hate those who hate you and you judge those who judge you. You have a Father, actually, who isn't like that. He actually is merciful even to the people who hate him. And so he loves you. You're his child. And so this is what this family looks like. Looks like loving your enemies. There's this place of security as children of God that's, I think, the foundation for us to say, yeah, then I can just go ask God the Father. I can just bring my needs to God. I don't need to give these holy, precious things to other areas to try to get these things. Jesus calls his disciples into a pursuit of the kingdom of God, first that rests in the fact of God being their Father. He calls us to not give our holy, precious selves to the dogs and the pigs. He calls us not to pursue the things that everyone else pursues, and he gives us an alternate route to direct our need. Isn't that great? That's sweet. He says, ask, seek, knock. The Father gives good gifts. So I just want to finish this morning with just some questions of where do we go from here. I think there could be some of us who have heard this word this morning who are maybe just feeling shame, who are saying, I am the salt that's gotten trampled by the feet. I am, you know, the pearls that have been thrown to the pigs. I'm the what's holy that's been given to the dogs, okay? So we might feel that for a few reasons. And that's not a hopeless place to feel that. Jesus tells this beautiful story in Luke 15, which many of us are familiar with, of the prodigal son. We were singing about this morning. The prodigal, right? This son who asks once, Father, could I have half the inheritance, please? And then runs away and throws it all to the dogs and the pigs. I mean, almost literally, he ends up feeding the pigs, right? So he's there. But then he has this moment of coming to his senses and saying, wait a second, I could go back to the Father, and I don't know, maybe I could work for him. Maybe that would work out. We could strike a deal. But at least his servants get to eat. And he goes back, and there's this beautiful image of the Father running out to greet his son and saying, let's have a party. He's back. And there's more to the story, but if you're in that place of feeling like, it's too late, it's not too late. Come to the, we love that. We sing that song, Run to the Father. Come to the Father and begin again. I think for a lot of us, though, we're maybe not in that place of shame. Maybe this has brought some things up, and we're feeling things a little bit more. But maybe for some of us, the struggle is just, how do I even change? Some of these are such fundamental things to just how we live, how life works. Like, how do I reorient my priorities? And I think those are really challenging questions, and so I don't want to kind of give a simplistic answer. I'm not going to tell everyone, you do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. But I think that what Jesus says after he says this passage about the dogs and the pigs is really a great starting place for us. Ask, seek, knock. To start really doing this in a genuine way, when we have needs, whether those are needs, ego needs, you know, I just want to know approval, I want to know praise, to bring those to the Father in a genuine way. Or if it's, you know, physical needs, you know, bring those to the Father in a genuine way. Or whatever needs we have, internal, external, to bring them to the Father, to ask, to seek, to knock, and to do that in a real way. I think that's so key. Sometimes I've been kind of convicted of this recently. I can pray and then try to kind of wrap things up because I know my prayer time's almost done and I need to get to work. And so, you know, I need to kind of make sure that everything's tidied up here and then so I can go. But to know just where there's unanswered questions, where there's unanswered needs, to be honest about that. Say, Father, you know, this is how I feel, and I still feel like that. Would you meet me there? I know you're my Father. I know I'm your child. Would you meet me there? Would you give me the things that you know that I need? And help me where I feel these draws. Help me to see things clearer, God, because I know I don't always see them clearly. To ask, to seek, to knock, to keep on asking and seeking and knocking and not kind of be like, oh, I did that prayer thing. I'm done. She says, no, this is your children of God. This is your Father. You come to him. Come to him. And he says that, of course, earlier in the Sermon on the Mount, too, when he talks about praying and he teaches us how to pray. So there's a starting place. Obviously, in this whole topic, there's lots of things that probably could be worked out in different ways or need to be worked out in different ways. Now, there's things in my life that need to be worked out in different ways. But I think there's a starting place for us to say, hey, how can I bring the needs that I feel, the lacks that I feel, straight to the Father? And by doing so, to reorient my mindset to say, wait a second, I'm a child of God with a good Father who cares for me. I want to give what's sacred to him. I want to spend what's precious on his kingdom. And I can go to him with everything I need. So we're going to have a time of music. We're going to have a time of response. You're free to respond in lots of different ways. You could come up, kneel. You could kneel in your seat. You could just sit in your chair. But we will have some people up at the front who are willing to pray for you. They come in pairs. And so if you do want prayer for anything, just feel free to come up. Otherwise, I'll just pray, invite the worship team to come back up, and then we'll sing together in response. So let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you know our hearts. Thank you that you didn't just call us to a standard or call us to live a certain way, but you actually gave us a ground of security. You gave us a starting place of identity from which to pursue your kingdom. You said, you are blessed, you're children of the Father. And the Father loves to give good gifts to those who ask him. So Jesus, I pray you'd help us to just live in that reality. I know it's not a reality that is right before our eyes all the time. I know it's hard to see. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd help us to see that reality so clearly, that this is who we are, that in all of our needs, whether they're physical or emotional, relational, spiritual, that we would come to you with them because you're a good Father who gives good gifts and that we would trust you. Pray you'd work on our hearts to work out what this looks like. But I pray that we would know that you are our Father, that you love us, that we can come to you with our needs, Jesus. We love you, Lord. Amen.